one area of NA.
Hi everybody, my name is Lauren, I'm an addict.
Hello.
I think I'm going to sit. I feel awfully strange up here standing. Oh, I could sit there. What'd you say?
It's called being of service.
Thank you for being of service. I appreciate it. Okay, hi everybody, my name's Lauren. I'm an addict, I just said that. My clean date is October 30th, 2007. God willing, I will have 7 years in October. We will have 7 years. So this workshop is relationships and intimacy, which is pretty funny that I'm even up here, because if I would have been told this almost 7 years ago that I would be talking about relationships or intimacy, there's no way I would have believed it. It's actually really funny. And the woman that asked me to speak, I don't think she's in here, but I need to thank her. That's Courtney from Indiana. She had Facebooked me and asked me and my husband to do this. And my God is just so funny, because that day we were in like such a serious, serious fight. Like, we were like arguing, and then I texted him and said, "Oh my God, we have to speak on intimacy and relationships." And I was thinking, well, I should tell her, yeah, I'll be there if we're still married. Because like, me as an addict, I go from like 0 to 10 real quick. So the good news is we're both here, and we're still married, happily married. But anyway, relationships and intimacy. Oh my gosh, whenever I was given that topic, I was I got to be honest with you, a little bit overwhelmed. I thought, where should I even start with? So the basic text tells me to tell you guys what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. So I'm going to kind of tell you that, you know, as it goes into relationships and intimacy. I'm not going to give you my lead. I definitely qualify to be here, that's for sure. I loved drugs, loved every minute of it. I hated the consequences. I looked for years upon years for a successful way to use without consequences, and I never found it. You know, but I was given this miracle as a gift, I believe, and I've embraced it for 6.5 years. So anyway, when it comes to relationships, looking back, I absolutely never had a healthy relationship. A relationship to me was, what could I get from you? Without giving anything at all. And looking back through step work, I probably started that pattern really, really, really young. I never really wanted to put forth a lot of effort with anyone. And my relationships with my parents, really anybody that ever crossed my path, was probably very unmanageable, because the minute you told me no, or the truth, or something I didn't want to hear about myself, I would sabotage you to get what I wanted. And that carried on from the time I came into the room of Narcotics Anonymous, and even carried on after I was clean. My first year of recovery, like, it's kind of amazing that I'm sitting here, because I didn't follow a lot of suggestions. I especially didn't follow the suggestion not to stay in a relationship. I was so very codependent and sick. The thought of me actually being with me and working on myself was not happening. And ultimately, it almost got me high. I was just telling the story before I walked down here. We were at our friend's campsite that, you know, at a year clean, I was sitting there with this ex-boyfriend that I just could not let go. I just kept holding on and holding on, you know, hoping this relationship would somehow turn into this fairy tale that I had in my mind. And you know, I was at a crossroads with a year clean. I finally hung out with him again, not following suggestions. And I remember sitting there, and he looks at me with stamp bags in his hand, looks right at me and says, "Don't you want to use with me just one more time?" And looking back 6.5 years ago, or 5.5, that's really whenever I became at a crossroads. Like, am I really going to learn how to take the suggestions of not being in a relationship, or ultimately I'm going to use? And ultimately, if I use, I die. I understand that. Thank God my higher power graced me with walking out of that with the same clean date, because I haven't found it necessary to use. And I don't believe that had anything to do with me. I believe that had to do with a higher power that gave me a little bit of a foundation. I was into a little bit of steps, not much. But ultimately, like, that choice that I could have made that day, I guaranteed you I would not be sitting here. I don't know where I would be, jail, dead, using. I don't know. But, you know, that's very powerful to me, just what a negative relationship could do to me. Dr. Torsky, who founded Gateway Rehab, which most people know who that is. I found it, like, so interesting that he said he worked with 50,000 drug addicts and alcoholics in his time, and he found one common denominator in all of us, and it was low self-esteem. And I think that's totally amazing, because I had such low self-esteem, which ultimately inhibited me from having a healthy relationship. And I carried that into my recovery. Low self-esteem, obsessed with self. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Obsessed with self, and really blocked me from anything good or healthy in my life. Like I told you that story about my relationship at a year. At that point, I embraced all suggestions. So from 12 months to 18 months, I banged out all my step work. I went over them with my steps. I got in the middle of Narcotics Anonymous. I got an H&I commitment. I got a commitment in my home group. And I really was not in a relationship at all for the first time probably since, 13 or some craziness like that. And I really was able to see in that period, you know, my low self-esteem, my self-loathing. I hated myself. And in that period, I actually started to start to love myself, to do kind things for myself, to, you know, really get to know who I wanted to be in life. The relationships I was always in, it was whoever I was dating. Like, if my boyfriend, you know, thought he was a gangster, I was a gangster. If my boyfriend thought he was a hippie, I was a hippie. If my boyfriend, you know, way back when in junior high was a skateboarder, I rode skateboards. I had no idea whenever I got clean who I was or what I even liked. So at that point, you know, I started to really find my assets in life. And in the true meaning of me. Like, I'm not a gangster. I'm not a hippie, that's for sure. Definitely not a skateboarder. Definitely not a camper. Everybody's like, are you camping this weekend? No, definitely not a camper. So I figured out, like, what I like and, like, what I really want to do. And as the months went on, at 18 months, I got into a relationship. And for the first time in my life, that relationship was different. Why was it different? It was not him. It was me. I loved myself inside and out. I can remember talking about self-love whenever I was in a halfway house in the beginning of my journey. I was given like a exercise that I had to do that my counselor suggested. We all had to do it. And I had to write down 20 things that I liked about me. I could not do it. I mean, that's really sad. Looking back, it like makes my heart hurt that on a piece of paper, I'm looking at a piece of paper, and the only things that like I wrote, I think I lied about. I felt like I was supposed to like about myself. So finally, you know, as the months went on, there definitely wasn't 20, but like there started to be some small things that I'm like, you know what, I am a good person. When I don't use, I can usually do the right things. I started seeing all this through the help of a sponsor. So like I said, at 18 months, I got into a relationship. That's with my husband. We've been married now. We will celebrate our fourth wedding anniversary on September of this year. And it is a healthy relationship most times. It definitely moved very quickly, which I probably wouldn't suggest. But at that point, you know, I always heard that saying that, like, whenever you meet the one, it's the one, you know, and I thought I met the one since like seventh grade. You know, I was always searching for this Prince Charming in recovery too. And something was different this time, when I met him, and it was me. I actually cared about myself. I knew what I wanted in life. You know, I brought things to the table. It wasn't like, what can you give me? it was like, what can we do? And I think really why our relationship today has been successful or lasted is that we both, you know, live our life by spiritual principles. We've both all worked 12 steps. I've worked the 12 steps. I work them with sponsees now. I still do service. We are both still highly, highly in the middle of the rooms. But, like, it hasn't been a total fairy tale either. I mean, it's real life. We've went through ups. We've went through downs. I would say probably more ups. But it's, like, hard work to be in a healthy relationship. Sometimes, no offense, he gets on my nerves. Just like everybody else, too. But I live with him. And sometimes I think that I need to tell him what he needs to do for his program. The other night, a couple weeks ago at my women's meeting, my home group, I was, like, so mad at him. And I'm thinking, he just is having all these character defects come out. And then, like, I had to, like, take an inventory. Like, it wasn't his character defects coming out. They were mine. And he was just annoying me. So our relationship's been good, but like I said, it definitely is hard at times. That brings me into intimacy. I always thought intimacy, whenever I heard that word, that it was like a sexual type of thing. That's really not what it means at all if you look it up. Intimacy is just such a deep connection on so many other levels. And I found that in my marriage, but more importantly, I found that in the relationship with my God. I don't believe that any of those other relationships would have been possible. And the only way that I found the intimacy with God is through step work, honest and open sharing, it's been delivered through my sponsor as well. I remember looking, whenever I was given this topic, I thought, oh my God, where am I going to go with the intimacy? And I looked in the back of the book and I looked it up, and the first time it talks about intimacy is in the fifth step. And that was truly it. You want to talk about a relationship. Sharing a fourth and fifth step with my sponsor, 1, 2, and 3, really good foundation. But getting to that core of things that I thought that I would never tell another human being, her and I formed such a relationship of intimacy. And I, you know, have been given the gift to do fifth steps with my sponsees. But for the first time in my life, I wasn't afraid of being judged. I was 100% honest, and like she looked at me like, yeah, I get it. And then she's like, yeah, well, I did this. I'm thinking, wow, look how different you are today. And that intimacy that I formed with her made, I think, everything possible for me to be in a marriage, for me to have friends. I have true friendships today. That's just totally amazing to me. Totally, totally amazing. I was like always like obsessed with like friends and who's my best friend and let's do this together and that together, and it almost like dictated my life. Like my friends today, the other day in the Just for Today reading, there was a reading on true friendships, and I sent out a text to like 4 women that I'm really, really close with. It said like, I just want to tell you I'm so grateful for our friendship. And thinking about that and meditating on that, you know, these girls and I, we've kind of came up, we've grown up together in recovery. We've gotten married, we've had weddings, we've had deaths, we've had so much stuff. But to have a true bond with women, which I absolutely never thought was possible. I have a women's home group. That's amazing in itself. But I was always totally against women, only because I hated myself. I thought all women kind of acted like me. And that wasn't the truth. I mean, with step work, we change. But like the friendships that I have with these girls, I mean, that's a beautiful gift in itself. We've been there through everything I can think of together. The relationship that I have with my husband, I trust him. I 100% trust my husband. And I would think that he would say he 100% trusts me. The relationships that I settled for, that I was using, when we were using, we were beating each other up, me not innocent by any standards. We were cheating on each other. We were ripping each other off. I mean, like, I couldn't even tell my boyfriend to cop for me, rip me off. I mean, what type of relationship is that there? Or I'd rip him off, you know what I mean? I remember the one time a boyfriend told, I gave him a $100 bill, he told me by accident, he gave it to the turnpike lady. And I'm thinking, and like I very well knew, and I'm thinking, you couldn't even give me like a bag, not even two. I mean, but I settled for that. it's really not funny, but it, you know, the story's kind of funny now because I've healed, I've mended, I can laugh about it. But to look at what I settled for in a relationship and what these poor souls that hated me settled for, it's just so, so, so different now. And the intimacy that I feel for my husband, like I said, we trust each other. We're honest with each other. You know, we can communicate. That's a big, big thing, communication, I think, because I was never able to do that. And sometimes I'm still not. Like, I just don't want to talk to you, or I want to yell at you, or I want you to do what I want to do, and I'm not ready to communicate till you are ready to do this. So communication's big. At one point, too, like, we had to learn other tools outside of Narcotics Anonymous to do. Like, there's a book. This is not NA related, but this is my story. There was a book. We did the 5 love languages. And I love my husband so much because he will sit and do these activities with me. And a lot of men would not want to read a book on the 5 love languages. And, like, it would give us exercises to do. And we, like, did it for a little bit. And then I got a book recently. It was like 30 habits to establish a healthy marriage, something like that. But I mean, it just touches me that he will sit and do it. He will do it. Because like I know he loves me unconditionally. I mean, the unconditional love that I have for someone, including not only my husband, my relationship with my dad, my relationship with my sisters, my nieces and nephews, my friends, I don't, you know, I don't have justifications how I'll love you. I'm usually. But intimacy, my, oh my. Being spiritually connected to, like, my partner, it's probably one of the most beautiful gifts. And I know that that would not be possible without recovery. We also had a baby. You want to talk about intimacy there? To bring a child into this world. That at one point through my pregnancy, people that know me, I was put on bed rest, and we weren't even sure if she was going to make it. And I can remember me just crying and crying, and him looking over at me, just wanting to take the pain away for me, which I never had a man ever want to ever do something that kind and selfless for me. You know, through my pregnancy, having problems, we bonded on a totally whole different level. And bringing our daughter into this world, Jordan, who isn't always easy. It's not always easy being a parent. But, like, I can really, truly say, like, we've, like, teamed up together. Like, I hear a lot of stories about, you know, relationships, moms and dads, and, like, you know, this can bring you apart. You know, she had colic. It was not easy. She had colic. I run a business. He works full-time. You know, we had sponsees, we had sponsors, we had H&I commitments. So there was a lot going on, a lot of beautiful gifts. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying, like, you know, that these were burdens on us. These were all gifts from recovery. But we had a lot going on that I think if we didn't use spiritual principles and the tools that God has given us, it could have definitely, you know, put us apart. But really, I think it made us stronger. Absolutely stronger parents. And I mean, the beautiful, beautiful piece of the whole parenthood is that just for today, like, our daughter does not ever have to see us high. You know, if we keep doing what we're doing one day at a time, which I honestly believe in my heart, she'll never have to see me withdrawn. She's not going to have to come to Gateway and see me. You know, she's not going to have to see the person her mom can easily become. And I know that, and I hold that very dear to my heart, that there are things that I have to do to keep this. Like, really, did I want to drive up here today? Kind of not. Did I want to, like, be in the camping world? Kind of not. but I'm really glad I got to spend some time with some women and even men that, you know, I don't know so well before this. We hung out at the campfire, bonded, you know, on an intimate level. And then I get to hear two of my really good friends share their message in a little bit. So there's so much to do to, you know, give back and carry this message and also get rewards all at the same time. What time is it? Buddy, you're going to have a long time. I'm almost done. I don't want to ramble. I don't want to, like, take God's will and just telling you what I think. So I think that's all I have. Intimacy, I think, is a kind of lifelong project that I have to work for. every single day. And I think it's also very important to take note when I have those moments. Because, like, God has blessed me with so many moments. Like the moment I just told you about bonding with two women, sitting in a campfire, sharing my experience, strength, and hope, listening to their experience, strength, and hope. Like, that's a moment of intimacy that I would never, ever feel on a chemical. Being able to give back and also receive the gift of recovery, chemicals blocked. They blocked me from anything good in my life. I think that's all I have. I want to thank everybody for listening. I appreciate it. If you're in a relationship, think about some of that stuff. But I think it's really important too. Like, intimacy just doesn't have to be with a partner. It can be with your family. It can be with your friends. It could be really with anyone if you take note and seize the moment for what it is. Thank you.
We have JJL from the Love and Action Group, also in Central Westmoreland area.
I'm JJ, I'm an addict.
JJ.
My clean date's July 12th of 2007. This is a pretty rough topic for me. I don't know about anybody else. I think this may be the hardest topic for me to discuss. I think this is the least amount of progress I made in recovery, is in intimacy and relationships. I don't know, the first thing that I needed to look at, the steps are just amazing. I mean, it's just truly amazing. I love our steps, love our literature. In step 11, and it works on why it talks about, the previous steps were set up in a specific order to remove the things that block me from God. And I believe that I needed that process. We also talk about spirituality of being the life energy we share from one person to the next person. Love, is also described like that. So, I look back, like Lauren had talked about, we grew up very different. Very different backgrounds. My dad was an alcoholic and an addict who beat my mom, and he left when I was two. And I met him once when I was 16, I went through a lot of step work with that stuff and, figured out the truth about that situation. But, as a child, I grew up feeling like different, I was scarred from that, I couldn't understand why the person that, like, was supposed to raise me and love me would leave, and do the things he did to my mom. So I told myself my whole life that, that didn't bother me and I didn't care. It was like growing up without something. But I think, after I've done some step work and realized that I have an actual human instinct to be raised by parents, and that hurt. Of course, growing up, like, I judged myself, my insides, how I felt about that to, like, other kids and their families, And I would see their families dropping them off at school and their dads, and I'd have to ride my bike to baseball practice by myself. And, because my mom worked full-time, she's a single parent, and, that kind of made me feel a certain way about myself. So, already I was starting to build those walls to protect myself from that stuff. And I finally found all this stuff out through step work. That was the first thing, I think, that I did. And also, my mom's great. We have a great relationship now, but we had a very, I guess you could say, not your typical father or mother and son relationship. My mom was like, hung out with the bikers. She's like a blue collar lady. So I was at a lot of, parties and barrel parties and stuff like that when I was young. So spiritual principles and, feelings like weren't really part of our family. It was more like a party, and anything kind of like went into that, anytime I acted out and got in trouble, she never really we never really talked about it. And we were really good at just like ignoring everything and just like leaving it sweep under the rug, which helped me like, craft the skill of denial and, I guess I should say deflecting reality long before I ever even picked up a drug, which built huge walls, That was part of my problem about being an addict, I always say, like today I really only have as much faith is I have days living clean, life on life's terms, without the use of drugs. Because before that, I never believed in anything bigger than myself. And I never processed anything, and I never dealt with anything constructively. You know, my way of was always just denying it, ignoring it, running from it. So, like, my spirit, I found the wrong ways to cope with life from a young age. And it started with my father, and it started with the behavioral problems I had, and it started with the lack of guidance, you know, from my mother. I never really grew in that type of atmosphere for me. So I guess I could say it was kind of like a callous, cold upbringing. I mean, I never really shared moments of like even when there were moments like that, like on Christmas Day or something, I'd look at my mom, she'd look at me, and we'd like both look away from each other. You know what I mean? It was such a strange relationship. But that's just how she is, and I see myself in her today. You know, she's by herself. She's 57 years old. She's stuck in her ways. You know what I mean? She doesn't like people. You know, I don't really like people that much either. It's like we're so the same. And the reason I do that is because, like, I loved it just for today reading. So if I had the date right, my life's such a blur. I think it was about The Masks Must Go. And that was a huge part of my process growing up, you know. Right after that, you know, I was probably about 10 years old, and I had lots of behavioral problems. You know, so I was already, like, I was already pretty much shut down to giving, receiving, love, any type of looking at the truth, you know, which I believe is intimacy, looking into my spirit, looking into the truth of a situation, honestly, and processing it and looking at what it is intimacy for me, you know, and I wasn't really good at doing that. And then my mom met another man who was very violent. He was an alcoholic too, and my mom would work all day, he'd drink all day, and you know, I'd come home from school and he'd be passed out, and then he'd get up and they'd fight and he'd beat her up all night. And you know, at that young of an age, you know, I didn't know how to process that kind of stuff, dude. So, you know, what I did was two things that kept me sick for a long time that added to that, me shutting myself off from the world, was like I learned how to deflect reality, you know what I mean? And I ran the streets. I didn't want to hear that. I can remember my mom getting punched in the face and hearing her head bounce off the refrigerator, and I'll never forget that till the day I die. And it just shut me down. I mean, emotionally, just shut me down. Like, I learned how to disconnect from the world on a level that kept me sick for so long and probably robbed me of so much intimacy and so much sharing. And I remember doing my fourth step with my sponsor and pulling those defects out of that fourth step. And I remember him saying, like, you know, shutting down emotionally, and I had to define it, and I had to figure out what my life would be like without it. And that's a huge character defect of mine that I still have today, that I told you I think I made the least progress on. It is so ingrained in me to just, I mean, I can shut down instantly, like bang, gone. And you know, my wife will vouch for that, because I don't like feeling uncomfortable. I don't like dealing with things like that make me feel uncomfortable. And the truth usually does that. You know, me and my wife, she's much more emotionally mature than I am. Like, we will argue and we will fight, and I'll just shut down completely. And I guess everybody has their own styles of that, you know what I mean? And like, I need time, I need space, and she's following me around the house trying to talk about it. And I'm like, I can't talk about it right now. I just can't. You know, I need time to process it, because I just shut myself down, because I've been in recovery long enough to where I know what's going to happen. I know what I need to do, and I need to accept responsibility for my part, look at my defects of character, get humble and get vulnerable and make an amends for my part. And I don't like that vulnerable feeling. I don't like that uncomfortable feeling. That's why I use drugs. I ran from that my whole life. You know, and the worst part is the powerlessness hit of that. You know what I mean? Is she always says, why do I always got to come to you? And the reason she always has to come to me is because I'm such a stubborn drug addict. You know what I mean? And I'm so filled with fear. Is because this is my thing that me and my sponsor discovered, you know, through this process since I've been married, is that if I shut down emotionally long enough, she'll come to me, then it'll be on my terms. Now I know it's safe, you know, for me to apologize, because I know she's willing and ready. Because the worst thing I want to do is be like, honey, I'm sorry, and be like, asshole. You know what I mean? Because getting stabbed while you're vulnerable hurts 10 times more. You know what I mean? So, I mean, this is my thought pattern. This is my behavior pattern. This is the stuff I need to uncover in the steps. And this is the stuff that causes problems in my relationship. And that's one of the huge ones I found in my marriage and in life. You know what I mean? It's No, and that's typical. In our men's, our 8-step list and our 9-step, you know, that's one of the biggest things we do is project how our men's are going to go. You know what I mean? Because we feel like such shit anyways for being an asshole. You know what I mean? The last thing we want is to finally get humble and get vulnerable and say, I'm, and get intimate. Show someone on a deep level that we hurt our soul. I'm sorry. I want you to feel that I'm sorry. And then for them to reject that's what I ran from my whole life. You know, that's the last thing I want to feel. But you know, as I gotta remember, I gotta back up and look at my partner's steps and you know, realize that's how they probably felt when I did that stuff to them. But you know, intimacy is tough for me. So I crafted this technique of cutting myself off from the world emotionally. You know what I mean? Then when I started doing drugs, that just further blocked me from sharing any type of anything with anybody besides the Eagles and shit like that. It's like I the relationships I had in recovery is like, you know, some people even talk about the people, places, and things, you know, we gotta stay away and everybody. And sometimes I hear people sharing like that these people are the enemy, you know what I mean? I grew up with some good guys, you know what I mean? Some good guys, and we had decent relationships, and we were such, like, you know, it's amazing. I look back now at, like, the young kids and realize, like, from, like, 12 to 18 is such a vulnerable time in our lives, man, because we're so insecure. We're so lost. We don't know what we want to do. We don't know who we are. And we're so impacted by other people. And, you know, this was the time I started building all these unhealthy ways of dealing with life and having relationships. And I can look back and you know, there was some good times me and these guys shared. But, you know, as we grew older and active addiction took over, you know, and I got more calloused and, you know, I became more abrasive to the world, I guess, you know what I mean? And I was such riddled with insecurities and low self-esteem, like my wife talked about, that it was almost impossible for me to get honest about anything, you know. And I share that because when I was going through that with my mom and dealing with all that abuse and all that stuff, we talk about, like, spiritual bondage here. And I mean, I felt such bondage, dude, because you know, I didn't want to bother my mom with it, and you know, that was how our relationship was. We kind of just acted like, you know, if I pretended it wasn't happening, then it wasn't real. You know what I mean? That's a huge defect of character of mine. And then I didn't go to authority figures because I hated authority. And then this is like the intimacy thing with my friends and guys on the street. It's like I couldn't talk to them about it. You know what I mean? Because I had such low self-esteem and so insecure. And I had all these masks. And I wanted to be so cool and act like nothing bothered me that I was scared to say, hey, man, I don't want to go home today. Can I stay here for a while? You know what I mean? Why don't you want to go home? Then I'd have to get honest about what was going on at my house. Then I might actually have to feel something. You know what I mean? Or the rejection thing. You know, hey, I don't want to go home today. You know, then get made fun of, or, you know, we don't talk like that. Guys don't talk like that. And one of the most amazing things I've seen since I've been here, intimacy and honesty of the human spirit is the most genuine thing, and you can't deny it. I did H&I for a while, and I did it at Westmoreland County Prison. And I'd stand in the room, and then I'd see all them come off the block, okay? And they'd all be in the hall, like, acting all tough and shit, you know what I mean? And they'd get searched down, and they'd come in, and they'd be all resistant. They didn't want to read, you know what I mean? And then the addict would share their experience, strength, and hope. And as they're sharing their experience, strength, and hope, you could just see the walls come down in their eyes. You know what I mean? You could see the identification happen right in front of you. And you could see by the end, you'd have some time left, and they'd all get interactive and start talking and asking for help. And maybe I'll see you, what meetings you go to. And then the CO would come, and immediately it would be gone. Because they would have to go back. You know what I mean? And that's the kind of shit we deal with. And that's why Narcotics Anonymous is so great, because this is a safe place most times for me to just bare my soul, man, to you guys and learn how to deal with life in a positive way. And, you know, I've came into recovery, and it's like I was almost incapable of feeling any intimacy or having any type of interrelationships because all those defective characters cause problems in my relationship. And if I'm blind to them, I have no idea that I'm doing them. And they cause so much harm. So my process through the steps the first time was great. You know, the first thing I had to find was the drugs. The drugs blocked me from people. They caused massive amounts of problems in my life, so I had to let that go. The second thing was the self-obsession, the self-centeredness. You know, our literature talks about the self-centered mind cannot conceive anything greater than itself. So how the hell am I going to have a healthy relationship when I don't care about you? I can't even see your feelings. I can't even see anything you want, anything you desire. You know what I mean? Can't even see that shit, our literature tells me. So how am I going to do anything? Because a relationship to me now today is a give and take. It's sacrifice. It's two individuals coming and sharing a common bond. And I learned that here. It's not one person being a chameleon like Lauren shared about. And I did that stuff too. And sponsorship helped me with that a lot. And when I first started sponsoring guys, you know, I'd see them struggling. And I was still so insecure and had such low self-esteem. And I still wanted people to like me. And I thought I had to do stuff for them to like me. You know what I mean? I thought we had to believe the same thing. And, you know, all that stuff for us to like me. I didn't understand there's always going to be conflict in relationships. And that's what the 4-9 process is. It's basic relationship conflict resolution. You know, that's how we do it. Like, back in the day, I would just, like, cut people out of my life for like the simplest thing. Like if we didn't agree or I did something, you'd just be gone completely. I had no idea that like you could sit down, discuss stuff, you know, me figure out what you wanted and me what I wanted, come to like a common ground, apologize, look at my part. I had no idea how to do any of that stuff. I mean, I just quit jobs on the spot, just walk out. And they'd be standing there like, you know, like, because I didn't know how to deal with that type of stuff and process that type of stuff. It was easier for me to just run from everything. But when I first started sponsoring guys, you know, I'd see them doing something wrong or they'd come to me and be struggling with something and I'd be scared to death to, like, tell them the truth, you know what I mean? Because I didn't want them to, like, get mad at me or hurt their feelings. And that was so hard for me when I first started sponsoring guys. And, you know, I've grown a lot from that stuff. You know, for one, I've worked the steps like Lauren has shared, and I became confident in myself. I have self-esteem today. I've overcome some insecurities. And I believe in the program. I believe in the truth. I believe in honesty. And I believe in having the best interest for someone, even though it could get rocky a little bit. You know what I mean? And being able to do that. Maturity has a lot to do with this stuff, man, because I didn't know how to do any of that. Any of that stuff before, and sponsorship has helped me with that, because, you know, I want to say what would make you happy or say what would ease the conflict and like sell myself out. And integrity is a huge spiritual principle in relationships, you know. And then I had a sponsor I worked my first 3 steps with. Finally was ready this time. Finally worked my first 3 steps. I'm finished up my 3rd step. I'm about to write on 4, and he calls me and said, "I've been using. You're going to have to get a new sponsor." So I'm like devastated. I'm like, jeez. I'm like, I finally, like, you know, got vulnerable, put myself out there, trusted someone. And then he tells me he's been using while we were doing step work. So I'm like, oh my God, my steps don't even count. Does my recovery count? You know what I mean? Like, is he telling me the truth? Like, what's happening? You know what I mean? And I thank God Ron was in my life. And the first thing I did, I mean, immediately, as soon as I hung up the phone with him, I called Ron. I said, "Bud, I said, I've been going with you. You've been dragging me all over the damn place, from Indiana to here to there to there." I said, you know, I felt comfortable with him because I used to ride in a car with him. You know what I mean? I didn't even know how to act around people. Like him, my sponsor brother, and they would come pick me up, and I'd just sit in the back seat like, ew. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to talk. I didn't know how to act with people. You know what I mean? I had no idea. So, like, from doing that, I felt a little comfortable with him. We bonded. We had a little bit of intimacy, you know. I laughed. He laughed. And there's nothing, you can't fake like that. You can't fake love. You can't fake intimacy. Like looking out at your eyes, I could see that. You know, I could feel that. I could feel that. And I love speaking most of the time because that's where that happens a lot. And in step work. And I mean, I've left meetings so touched before that. I just felt God inside of me. And I like felt everything you were talking about. And you know, Narcotics Anonymous is great in that way. And Ron, of course, said, "Okay, I'll temporarily sponsor you." And then time started going by, and I'm like, "Well, I'm on my 4th step." I'm like, and I called him. I'm like, "Well, I worked my first 3 steps with a different sponsor, so we kind of built some trust." I said, "This is kind of a big step. I don't know, buddy, if we should start on the 4th step." So I met him in a meeting, and he sits me down. He goes, "You'll be fine." He goes, "We'll touch on 1, 2, and 3." He goes, "But tell me the worst thing you've ever did in your life." And I'm sitting there, I'm like, "What the fuck?" What are you talking about? And I was like so scared, but I was so scared to use. Like I was so ready this time, but I was so scared to use that I just told him right there and right at the table. And he's like, "Hey, was that so bad?" And I was like, "No, it wasn't." And, you know, we went through the rest of the steps, and he's taught me a lot about the steps, taught me a lot about life, man, and taught me a lot about God. You know, that's what he always tells me. You know, he suggested that me and Lauren do a group conscience once a week. And because communication is a huge part of relationships, dude. My codependency crazy thing. We actually seek some outside help and went to a counselor for a while. And we learned some stuff there. And one of the coolest things she says is like attitude has a lot to do. Like I love people. They'll bring up a topic, acting out on feelings. People will be like, "I don't act out on feelings anymore. I did when I was an active bitch, and I don't." And I'm like, "Are you fucking insane?" I'm like, "I live with another drug addict, and she's a woman." I was like, "I could tell the tone of the day as soon as she comes downstairs." You know what I mean? And that works both ways, vice versa. And it's very hard to separate that because I feed right into that. You know what I mean? And what I do is assume. My self-obsession makes me assume that it's me. You know what I mean? That somehow she's pissed off at me, so I'm going to put those walls up right now. You know what I mean? I'm defensive right off the bat. And because I'm assuming shit. And instead of sitting down and saying, "Hey, honey, what's wrong?" Because most of the things we fight about has nothing to do with each other. Zero. You know what I mean? Something will happen at work, and I won't communicate with her, and it'll start coming out in defects and in words. And then she'll feed right into it, and vice versa. I'll feed right into it. And before you know it, we're fighting, losing time, losing love. You know what I mean? And that's what our disease wants us to do, is it wants to rob us from everything, clean, you know, with defects of character. And that's the one thing I learned, and I'm going to tell the sunglass story for Kevin. These spiritual principles are so amazing. I mean, it's amazing. The four, like, you have, I guess you don't have to, but it is very helpful to have a working knowledge of the 4-9 process. Like I said, that's conflict resolution. So my wife takes care of me a lot. She thinks about me a lot. You know, she's always looking out for me, doing things. Well, I have a pair of sunglasses, and they're kind of expensive, you know, and I don't put shit away, so she put it away. And then I wanted them, so I couldn't find them. And I said, "Well, where'd you put my sunglasses?" She goes, "I didn't touch your sunglasses." I'm like, "Where the hell did you put my sunglasses? You always put shit away and forget." You know what I mean? So immediately we start fighting. And I'm going to a noon meeting. I'm finally got a rain day off work. I'm going to a noon meeting, and I'm going to meet a sponsee, do an 8-step. Okay? So there's lots of stuff going on. You know what I mean? Lots of stuff going on. I leave the house pissed off. You know what I mean? I'm mad at her because that's what I do as a drug addict. It's her fault. None of the responsibility is mine. You know what I mean? And that just justifies that resentment. Justifies that resentment, justifies that anger, because I like feeling that sometimes. I don't know about anybody else in recovery, but I like feeling that shit sometimes. You know, and I'm driving to the meeting, and then here comes God, of course. You know, thank God for him, too. You know, and I'm driving to the meeting, and I'm thinking, okay, all right, I'm going to a meeting that I usually don't get to go to all the time. Am I going to be present in that meeting this pissed off? Probably not. You know, I don't want to waste a meeting. Okay, I'm going to meet a sponsee after this meeting and do an 8-step. Am I going to be present for this man who needs this in his life? It's an important step. Probably not. Filled with resentment. Or am I going to be thinking what I'm going to say to her next? It's the first time I see her. You know what I mean? How I'm going to justify my argument and my side. And so the 4th step, I'm starting to accept responsibility. Okay. All right, I don't want that to happen. I want to be free. I want to be free of this. You know what I mean? I want resentment throughout my day. I don't want to hurt my wife. So, you know, I call her, well, text her in the parking lot. I'm sitting outside of meeting. I said, "You know what, honey?" I said, "I'm sorry." I said, "The first thing, you know, I'm kind of wrong about is you always take care of me, even if you did take them and lose them." You know what I mean? I wasn't being responsible. Yeah, because I'm not willing to let go quite yet. Sorry. We're making progress, but I still might be right. You know what I mean? No, I said, "Even if you did take them, your intentions were you were looking out for me and I wasn't being responsible." And I said, "I'm sorry. It's my fault. I shouldn't have snapped at you like that." And I got vulnerable. Like that little process I explained to you earlier that I resist, I did it once this time. And she texted me back, and I could tell by the tone. She goes, "Okay, honey, thank you. I don't want to ruin the day. You know what I mean? I don't want to fight with you, da da da." Because we were supposed to go out with Jordan later that night. And I said, "Okay, you're right." You know, and moved on. And instantly, I was free. Dude, I mean, these principles are insane. Mm-hmm. I mean, insane. I mean, that's like, that is working the steps in my life. That is an intimate relationship. And believe me, that shit is hard. There is nothing harder in my life to do than practice humility, surrender, love, and admitting I'm wrong when I am infuriated. And my disease is telling me that it's not my fault, it's yours. You know what I mean? How many ways it's your fault? You know, and looking at her defects of character instead of mine. You know what I mean? That's so hard, dude. And it took me a long time to make that minimal amount of progress here in that area. You know, because that's that thing. I could have texted her back wanting freedom and wanting to resolve the situation and her not being ready. Then what would have happened? Would I have then had the humility to say, okay, honey, I'm sorry, when you're ready to talk about it, we can't. Probably not. I'd probably be like, fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, that's like the steps in action for me. You know, remember one of the best days of my life when we got married. At the end of my addiction, I'd be at the stove, you know, at my mom's house. That's what I did. And my life was, I had a dealer two houses up from me, and I would go to hit there, and I'd come to the stove, and I'd go there, and I'd come to the stove, and I'd go there, and I'd come to the stove, and that was my life. None of my family would talk to me. Drug addicts wouldn't even talk to me. No one wanted to be around me. And I remember when me and my wife got married, we had about 3 years clean, I think, and I looked out, and she was walking down the aisle, and 204 people were looking back at me, smiling, to see what I was looking like. You know what I mean? It was one of the best days of my life. It was one of the most intimate moments of my life. You know, it really helps, you know, like when Lauren said that you find someone that you're in love with. I mean, I think that really helped. But I think, like, and I didn't do everything right. My first year I came in and got in a relationship with 60 Days Clean, and I did some dirty shit and some crazy stuff. She ended up using, going back out, and Ron made me do an inventory on her because I met Lauren right after that. And you know, Ron's looking at me like, you think you're ready for a relationship? I mean, look what you just did. And like, to me, I'm like, yeah, because the disease tells me, look, relationships are just like the drug. The disease tells me of all the good times, all the good things, it's going to be great. You know what I mean? It's going to have so much fun. You know, I look at the sex, I look at the companionship, I look at the intimacy, I look at the not being lonely, the laughing. I don't look at the different political beliefs, buying a house, spending money. What you're gonna, you know, this shit is real life stuff, dude. And this is that conflict resolution stuff that I need to do. You know, I need to look at, like, my wife's very successful. She's a go-getter. She's very driven. Like, I'm very scared of life. You know what I mean? And she went to school, graduated school, and opened up a business. And, you know, I love her so much for that. And she does so great in that area. You know what I mean? And, like, I wanted to kind of do something. I wasn't sure and I was scared. And, you know, she pushed me, helped me, push me to go back to school. And I remember I come home struggling at a class that I struggled with. And I felt, like, inferior. And that low self-esteem was all over me. And I felt like shit. And she would call me out, dude. And I, you know, these are real-life situations and defects of character I have. Am I going to be able to... Because my insecurities will tell me, man, she's very successful at this. She's tearing me down, da 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 da, and I would get angry because I wouldn't be able to look at myself. Now, you know, fortunately in recovery, and I love her so much, I'm able to look at my part in that and look at how I could better myself and have her help me do that. Because that stuff, you know, and back in the day when a chick would try to tell me shit like that, I get pissed because I was so insecure and had such low self-esteem. You know, anyone that did anything better than me, especially, you know, one of my girlfriends, it would make me angry and make me feel like shit about myself. Like, do I have the humility and to take an honest look at myself in a situation like that? You know what I mean? And use her assets as mine and not get insecure about her assets. Like, this is real life stuff you need to look at going into relationships. But as drug addicts, we just look like, oh, we're going to have fun. We're going to go to movies, go out for pizza and shit. Like, all the fun stuff. But there's days in my marriage where it took every ounce of step work I've done to get through, believe me. You know, we have such a great relationship today. I mean, it's what I always wanted. You know, I was 27 when I got clean. I did a bunch of step work, and back to that first relationship I was in. Ron made me do an inventory on that. He's like, well, I suggest you do an inventory on that first relationship. before you move into another relationship. And I'm like, why? And this is how blind we are to stuff, you know what I mean? And this is how good the steps are. You know, I'm like, why? He's like, so you don't carry that stuff and same motives into this. Because I had no idea what a romantic relationship was. I was always in one just because I thought that's what you were supposed to do. Like, I'd hear people be like, well, what qualities do you look for in a girl? If she wants to be with me, that was mine. You know what I mean? I don't know. What are you talking about, quality? I take whatever one I can get. like, I had no idea that, like, there was, like, things you needed to come together with. And like, that's how me and her are today. We both have assets. We both have defects. We got to compromise on our defects. We feed off of our assets. You know, she brings a lot of things that I'm terrible at to our relationship, which I just explained. And I bring a lot of things, you know, different perspectives of my life. You know, we grew up with completely different backgrounds, and we got to blend that stuff. Like, buying a house, spending a couple $100,000 on a house is a scary situation, you know what I mean? You know, she wants this, I want that, I don't think we should do this, you know what I mean? And that could cause major conflict without spiritual principles. Having a child, you know, my mom's a lot different than her dad, you know what I mean? She was just telling me, they went to the Z the other day, my mom's whipping people's finger out the car and on the highway and shit, you know what I mean? My mouth is terrible, you know what I mean? It's horrible, that's the way I grew up, and she's trying to help me with that, and I'm trying to be open-minded to that, but you know, raising a kid, different beliefs, you know what I mean? It's tough to blend that type of stuff together. It takes work. It takes sacrifice. And the one thing I learned here that's the hardest thing for me to deal with is, you know, we have a Just for Today reading about it, and it talks about the risk versus reward. I can shut myself off to the world, you know what I mean, and stay in my little bubble and not get hurt, you know what I mean? But how much of life am I going to experience? When I experience true relationships and true love, I have to open my heart on a deep level. But the problem with that is I can't filter what else gets in there. When I open my heart that big to accept true love, everything else gets in there too. Anger, hurt. You know what I mean? I can't filter that stuff out. It's hard. And I love the saying, there's a thin line between love and hate. Because a person that could hurt me the worst is the people I love the most. And it's very hard to separate that kind of stuff. And that's like the codependency thing I was talking about earlier. You know, when I see her in a bad mood or something, immediately I want to feed into that. You know what I mean? And it's very hard to separate that kind of stuff. And it takes lots of self-discipline. And that's the spiritual principle behind the 10th step, you know, that I need to continue to try to practice that stuff and be empathetic. And we got to share a lot of great moments. Like you said, you know, one was my wedding. You know, then there were some tough moments that we shared that I've never felt ever in my life. You know, my mom, we got to do a lot of amends. And I'll tell you this story too. It's kind of weird. I'll give you some background about it. But people kind of laugh. But it's such a big thing in my life. And this is how God enters my life and helps me. Helps, like, give me a nudge in these areas. You know what I mean? Like, me and my mom kind of never really sat down and talked. You know, I did lots of drugs with my mom, smoked crack with my mom. We crossed a lot of boundaries that we shouldn't have crossed. That's another thing I had to learn in relationships, with boundaries. Like, I just lived recklessly on self-will, didn't care about anything, dude. You know what I mean? Didn't care about what you thought, what you wanted, what you felt. Just zero boundaries, dude. None for me either. Just run my mouth, hurt you with my mouth, hurt you physically, hurt you any way I could. I didn't care. I had no boundaries. Because I didn't care about anybody else. I couldn't see anything bigger than me, but you know, me and my mom never really sat down and talked about all the things we did wrong, you know what I mean? Because we still weren't there yet. But my mom's only sister died when I was in active addiction, and I was smoking crack all night. And I remember her bedroom was right by mine, and I heard her getting ready over there, and she came out, and I was smoking crack, and she was like, are you coming with me? And I was just put my head down and just, like, shook it like that. And I seen her walk down the steps crying. You know, she had to go alone because I was stuck with the pipe in my mouth in my room, and that's one of the biggest things I regret in my life, one of the things that hurt the worst. So since I got clean, I kind of been waiting to do amends for her, you know what I mean? And this is not as big as that, but I'll explain to you. I had this little dog, his name was Buddy, he's a Chihuahua, and he was with me. I was so isolated in active addiction. I remember I'd be shooting coke and smoking crack, I'd look over at me, just like, that's what it felt like, you know what I mean? Like, he was just disgusted with me, dude. And I just felt so bad even when he looked at me like that. And I'm like, damn. Well, when I got clean, I lived out in the cut. And I didn't have a car, didn't have nothing, dude. I'd get rides and meetings. But I was alone sometimes there. My mom worked, she would go out with her friends. So he was there, you know what I mean? So he kind of, like, kept me like had a little bit of companionship, you know, kept me cool when I was alone. And well, he ended up getting sick, man. I was gone, lived with Lauren by then. And you know, once I left, my mom and me is all I ever had. So it was tough when I got clean. As sick as I was, and as bad as she wanted me to get clean, it was hard for her, like, because I was completely dependent on her in a sick way. And then when I got clean, my life completely changed, and I was gone. So she, like, got very upset, and, like, it was crazy. We had to work all these steps and shit, but now she had him. And that was kind of her way of coping with this new life, you know what I mean? And he ended up dying, so he ended up getting sick, and he was at the house dying for a while. And I didn't tell my mom I loved her until I had about 3 years clean. That's just how we were. That's crazy. I mean, it's just insane. I couldn't say it to her for some reason. It was just like it stuck in my mouth. I felt so uncomfortable. We ended up dying. I called off work the whole week and shit. I was out there with her, you know what I mean? He was on IVs and shit, and she was just a mess, dude, just crying and shit. Well, we finally took him to get euthanized, and you know, I went with her, and she held him the whole way back, crying. And I dug the hole before we left, and I went down, and I buried him, and I just lost it, dude. I mean, there was just tears rolling down my eyes, and she come out, and she was crying, and I hugged my mom. And it was like everything we've ever felt, or everything we ever did, you know, just like came in that hug, dude. And we were just both in tears, and it was so much more than like that little dog dying, dude. And it took God, like, and that little dog dying for that to happen. And I mean, that's the most I've felt on a deep level with my mother ever in my life. And after that day, it was like a whole different relationship. I'm about to cry now. It was like a whole different relationship after that day. And people laugh about the dog and stuff, but I mean, it was so important. If you'd have felt what came out of me and into her and out of her into me, that day we were crying together, that was the first time I cried clean. And that was the first time I told her I loved her. And it was fucking nuts, dude. It was amazing. And that is intimacy, like in my eyes right now. That's like intimacy. That's what I ran from my whole life. That's what I didn't want to feel, because I was scared of getting hurt. But, you know, taking the risk and feeling the love and being honest and feeling the intimacy is well worth the reward. So it's just my experience with that. I hope you guys got something out of that. That's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.